The night was silent, until it wasn't. In the heart of Ouagadougou, where fear had ruled for too long, a young captain moved through the shadows, not for glory, but for survival. A city held its breath, a regime fell, and with a single thunderous strike, Ibrahim Traoré seized destiny with his bare hands. And the lion roared. If you haven't already, make sure to follow us and tap the notification bell. We drop new content every day. Stay tuned so you never miss a story. Chapter 5, Thunder in Ouagadougou. The night of September 30th, 2022, was heavy with a peculiar kind of stillness. The kind that settles over a city just before it tears itself apart. In the barracks on the outskirts of Ouagadougou, Ibrahim Traoré tightened the straps of his flak jacket with slow, deliberate movements. His sidearm, polished but battered, hung heavy at his waist. Beside him, the men he trusted most loaded their rifles, their faces grim, their eyes reflecting the cold gleam of destiny. No speeches, no rallying cries, only a shared, unspoken vow. Tonight, we take back our future. The plan was simple in theory, devastating in execution. Secure the national television station. Lock down key government buildings. Seize Damaba before he could flee or rally loyalists. Declare the birth of a new order before the sun rose. Timing was everything. Momentum was everything. Failure meant death. Not just for them, but perhaps for every dream still beating in the hearts of their people. The convoy rumbled through the sleeping city like a metal serpent. A handful of armored vehicles, disguised at first as routine patrols, rolled quietly past darkened markets and shuttered shops. Soldiers in plain uniforms leaned from the windows, scanning alleys and rooftops for any sign of betrayal. The streets were eerily empty. A few dogs barked in the distance. A lone vendor packed up his cart, oblivious to the history unfolding mere blocks away. At each checkpoint, Traoré's men moved with quiet precision. A whispered password, a sharp nod, an officer placed discreetly on the ground, flex-cuffed and gagged before he could raise an alarm. In less than an hour, they had taken half the city's critical intersections without firing a shot. The night was theirs. For now, the television station was the first major target. A squat concrete relic of the 1980s, it loomed at the edge of a dusty avenue, its broadcast towers stabbing upward like skeletal fingers. Inside, a skeleton crew of technicians blinked in confusion as armed soldiers burst through the doors. There were no gunshots, no broken glass, just swift, surgical domination. Within minutes, Traoré's forces controlled the airwaves. The old state broadcaster's logo shimmered on blank television screens across the country, awaiting a message. Awaiting him, the final phase was the most dangerous, confronting Damaba. Intelligence had placed him in the presidential palace, a heavily guarded complex ringed with fences, machine gun nests, and armored personnel carriers. Traoré knew there would be no way to take it quietly. He also knew he had no choice. At 3:17 a.m., the assault began. An explosion ripped through the main gates, a controlled blast, precisely measured, blowing a hole big enough for two armored trucks to roar through side by side. Gunfire cracked across the compound, shattering windows, chewing into stone walls. The defenders, caught off guard, scrambled to form a perimeter. For a few terrifying minutes, the palace grounds became a hellscape of smoke, tracer rounds, and shouting. Through the chaos, Traoré advanced on foot, weaving from cover to cover with deadly focus. He moved like a man possessed, issuing commands, flanking enemy positions, personally dragging two wounded comrades to safety under heavy fire. At the final barricade outside the main hall, he paused only briefly, panting, his uniform stained with dust and sweat. He could hear Damaba's loyalists shouting inside, barricading doors, overturning tables. He could also hear the distant, almost surreal hum of the city beyond. The city waiting, holding its breath. There was no time for doubt. With a sharp gesture, he led the charge. The hall erupted in close-quarters combat. Gun butts slammed against skulls. Boots thudded into ribs. Shouts and curses ricocheted off marble walls. Traoré moved through it all with brutal grace, disarming, subduing, overwhelming. When it was done, Damaba was cornered in a side room, flanked by a handful of trembling loyalists. His face, once so composed, so imperious, was now slick with fear. He tried to reason. To bargain, to threaten. Ibrahim said nothing. He simply stepped forward, removed his helmet, and looked Damaba in the eyes, a gaze as steady and merciless as the Sahel sun itself. And Damaba understood. It was over. At 5:43 a.m., Ibrahim Traoré stood before a battered podium inside the seized television station. The cameras flickered to life. The microphones crackled with static. Across Burkina Faso, in mud-walled villages, in dusty markets, in crowded city apartments, the people leaned closer to their flickering screens. The image stabilized. There he was. Young. Unbowed. Alive with purpose. No suit. No military regalia dripping with meaningless medals. Just a simple uniform. A simple man. One of their own. His voice, when it came, was steady and low. Measured. Fellow citizens of Burkina Faso, he spoke of betrayal, of broken promises, of blood spilled on forgotten roads. He spoke of the duty owed to the martyrs of the North, to the hungry children of the South, to the elders who had waited too long for justice. He spoke not as a conqueror, but as a servant, a soldier, a son of the soil. "Enough talk," he said, his voice rising, almost breaking. "Now we act. Now we reclaim our dignity. Now we rebuild together." Across the country, a sound began to rise. At first, it was barely audible. The clatter of spoons against metal pots in cramped kitchens. The stomping of feet in the dust. The ululation of women in village squares. It grew and grew until it became a roar. A tidal wave of hope and rage and release that shook the very earth. "Traoré! Traoré! Traoré!" The hero they had whispered about was no longer a whisper. He was real. He was here. And history, bloody, battered, but still alive, had found its next chapter. As dawn spilled gold and crimson across the battered skyline of Ouagadougou, Ibrahim Traoré stepped out into the morning air. Around him, soldiers, his soldiers, cheered, their faces lit with something rare and precious. Belief. He turned his face to the rising sun, eyes narrowing against the light. There would be battles ahead. Betrayals. Sacrifices he could not yet imagine. But for this moment, for this one heartbeat in time, the dream he had carried since he was a barefoot boy in Bondokwe burned bright and unstoppable. Burkina Faso was his to protect. And he would not fail her. Not while he drew breath.